Welcome to the second hour's reading of the Midland Reporter-Telegram and the Odessa American. You can hear this program on Recording Library of West Texas Radio and on demand at recordinglibrary.org.
Obituaries. Anne Bays Maywater. Anne Bays Maywater, age 94 of Midland, passed away on March 6, 2023. Services will be at 10 a.m. Tuesday, March 14th, 2023, at Christ Church Anglican, located at 5501 North Midkiff Road in Midland, Texas. Her memory may be honored with a donation to Christ Church Anglican, Mark, or a charity of your choice. Arrangements are under the direction of Nellie Pickle and Welch Funeral Home and Crematory of Midland. Online condolences may be made at www.npwelch.com. J. Rayford Woods, August 12, 1936 to March 9, 2023. Julius Rayford Woods was born on August 12, 1936 to Lorene Elizabeth and Julius Blaine Buck Woods in Center, Texas. The Lord called him home on March 8, 2023. The family will receive friends at Ellis Funeral Home in Midland, Texas from 3 to 5 p.m. on Sunday, March 12th. Services remembering Rayford will be held at First Methodist Church on Monday, March 13th at 12 p.m. Graveside to follow at Rest Haven Cemetery. Memorials can be made to High Sky Children's Ranch in Midland, Texas. Janice Lee Carter, March 19th, 1935 to March 7th, 2023. Janice Lee Quinn Carter, born March 19th, 1935, passed peacefully into her father's and her family's arms on the morning of March 7th, 2023, surrounded by family and friends. We ask that you please direct memorials for Janice to the Endowment Fund at MMH for Dr. Edward Pete Carter Anesthesiology and Operating Room Endowment Fund. That was her wish. Kristen and Casey will have a private graveside service, but welcome all friends to share in laughter, food, and memories on Monday, March 13th at 12 p.m. at Ellis Funeral Home in Memorial Park, 4616 North Big Spring, Midland, Texas, 79705. Oscar Mertink. Hubba, hubba, hubba. Oscar Eugene Mertink, 82, of Midland, Texas, peacefully left us for his heavenly home on Saturday, March 4th, 2023. Visitation will be held Monday, March 13th, 2023, from 6 p.m. to 8 p.m. at Nally, Pickle, and Welch Funeral Home in Midland, Texas. A second visitation will be held Friday, April 21st, 2023, from 6 p.m. to 8 p.m. at Sullivan's Funeral Home in Vernon, Texas, with services at Emmanuel Lutheran Church on Saturday, April 22nd, 2023 at 11 a.m. in Harold, Texas. In lieu of flowers, the family requests that donations be made in his memory to Vietnam Veterans of America, VVA. Arrangements are under the direction of Nally, Pickle, and Welch Funeral Home of Midland. Online condolences may be made at www.npwelch.com. Truman Eugene Gene Spires. Dr. Truman Eugene Gene Spires, 97 of Midland, Texas, passed away February 11, 2023. Memorial services will be held at a later date at First Baptist Church in Midland, Texas. Gene was preceded in death by his wife of 63 years, Doris, his mother, Hattie, his stepfather, Shorty, and his brother, Jerry. In lieu of flowers, memorial donations may be given to the following: the Kairos Prison Ministry, Post Office Box 50002, Midland, Texas, 79710, Midland West Rotary, Post Office Box 5303, Midland, Texas, 79704, and Stepping Stone Ministries, Post Office Box 50092, Midland, Texas, 79710. Death Notices. Armandina Perales. Armandina Valdez Perales, 92, passed away Wednesday, March 8, 2023. Family messages and condolences may be emailed to pipkin@nts-online.net, or you can visit our website at LlewellynGarciaPipkinFH.com. Hercelia B. Rios. Hercelia B. Rios, 87, of Stanton, Texas, went to be with the Lord on March 5, 2023. Funeral arrangements are entrusted to Stanton Memorial Funeral Home. Online condolences can be received at www.stantonfh.com. Maria de Marquez. Maria de Marquez, 89, of Midland, Texas, went to be with the Lord March 3, 2023. Funeral arrangements have been entrusted to Avalos, Sanchez, and Thomas Funeral Home. Online condolences can be made at assanchezt odessafh.com.
This is Christy, and I'm continuing to read the Odessa American for Monday, March 13th, 2023. Sparklight awards $3,500 to Family Promise of Odessa. Sparklight recently awarded $3,500 grant to Family Promise of Odessa through the company's Charitable Giving Fund. 28 nonprofit organizations across the company's 24-state footprint received grants totaling more than $110,000 during the company's most recent award period. Family Promise of Odessa is a nonprofit agency that partners with local churches and approximately 200 volunteers to provide shelter, food, and necessities, and support services to unhoused families with children, with the goal of achieving lasting self-sufficiency. Family Promise plans to use the Sparklight grant in support of its Transition to Independence program. Transition to Independence is the primary activity and program of Family Promise of Odessa. FPO Executive Director Kara Evanson Dorothy said in the press release, "It is based on families becoming financially stable and moving into homes of their own within 1 year of acceptance to the overnight stay program." She explained, "Our mission is to assist homeless families in becoming self-sufficient in providing support they need to survive. Thus, the Transition to Independence program is well aligned with our mission." The Charitable Giving Fund, which annually awards nearly $250,000 in grants to local 501c3 nonprofit organizations served by the Cable One family of brands, Sparklight, Fidelity Communications, Hargray, ValueNet, Fiber, and Cable America, concentrates support in the following priority areas: education and digital literacy, food insecurity, and community development. Nonprofit organizations have the opportunity to apply for a grant during open application periods each spring and fall. Applications for spring 2023 grants will open between April 1st to April 30th, 2023. The Charitable Giving Fund is an extension of the company's existing corporate social responsibility efforts, which include supporting national organizations dedicated to advancing education and diversity, including the Emma Bowen Foundation and the National Diversity Council, supporting the mission of Special Olympics, which provides year-round sports and training and athletic competition in a variety of Olympic-type sports, as well as health, arts, and leadership and advocacy programs for children and adults with intellectual disabilities. Planting trees through the Arbor Day Foundation on behalf of customers who switch to paperless billing. By the end of 2023, the company will have planted 130,000 trees in its markets and national forests. Supporting the mission of Keep America Beautiful in cleaning up and beautifying communities across the U.S. Addressing food insecurity across its footprint through the donation of more than 46 tons of food and nearly 400,000 since 2018.
Bipolar disorder, up one day, down the next. Almost 6 million American adults suffer from bipolar disorder. This does not count the children and young adults who also suffer. This disorder is more than mood swings. It is a serious, life-affecting mental disorder. Diagnosing this disorder can be difficult and is often misdiagnosed. There has yet to be found a cure for this disorder. However, it is encouraging to know that the symptoms can be managed. No one knows beyond a doubt what causes bipolar disorder. While some studies suggest that there is a genetic component present, most researchers agree there are likely brain and environmental factors that contribute as well. Some scientists believe the stress hormone cortisol plays a role. This hormone causes alterations in how the brain functions and communicates. Symptoms of the mania phase can include decreased need for sleep, talking excessively, racing thoughts, being easily distracted, experiencing physical agitation and relentless movement, increased sexual desire, impulsive risky behaviors, grandiosity or inappropriate behavior, irritability, hostility, or aggression. Depression symptoms can include crying for no reason, prolonged periods of sadness, feelings of guilt or hopelessness, loss of interest in activities that usually give pleasure, extreme fatigue, including the inability to get out of bed, loss of interest in your health, nutrition, or physical appearance, difficulty concentrating or remembering things, sleeping excessively or difficulty sleeping and suicidal thoughts or an impulse to self-harm. People with bipolar disorder respond better to treatment if they have the support of friends and loved ones. Treatment can include medication and talk therapy. Finding the best combination of meds that work for each person can be difficult, so a person needs to be prepared to give the selection and dosage of medicine a proper amount of time to be worked out. For the best possible outcome, a person should live a healthy lifestyle, including regular exercise, proper nutrition, and avoidance of alcohol. It is very important to remember that bipolar disorder is a chronic illness requiring regular monitoring and treatment. One must be consistent with their care. Free tax assistance. The Ector County Northside Senior Center at 1225 Adams Avenue has scheduled free tax assistance for seniors from 9 a.m. to 1 p.m. Tuesdays and Thursdays through April 11th. An appointment is required, so for more information or to make an appointment, call 432-337-5281.
Sol Ross State University ranked as top school for online master's degree in Homeland Security Criminal Justice. Staff writer, Alpine. Sol Ross State University's Homeland Security program has been ranked first in online learning at the master's level by onlinemastersdegree.org, while the criminal justice program was ranked 10th. They are ranked by overall quality, affordability, and commitment to student success. This year, we focused on the school making it easier for students to compete in today's increasingly difficult job market, Kyle Darlin, co-founder of OMD, said. Each ranked school offers a fully or partially online master's at a time when earning a master's has become a minimum barrier to entry for many. Darlin was referencing a recent survey from Career Builders, which found that 33% of employers are hiring workers with master's degree for positions that had been primarily held by those with four-year degrees. These employers cited an evolution of the skills needed to perform the jobs as the cause of the shift, and an increase in work quality, productivity, employee retention as the result. Providing students with opportunities to get a master's online is only part of our rankings, Darlin said. Top-ranked schools also had competitive tuition rates and or scholarships to help drive costs down. And with grocery, gas, and other expenses on everybody's mind right now, an affordable master's is key. OnlineMastersDegree.org analyzed more than 7,700 accredited universities by using data pulled from the schools themselves and from the Integrated Post-Secondary Education Data System, IPEDS. After the data was compiled, OMP's data science team then applied a proprietary algorithm to rank all qualifying schools for each of the different master's degree specialties. Primary data points included academic counseling services, career placement services, student-faculty ratio, tuition, percentage of students receiving school-based aid, and amount of school-based aid per student. To be eligible for ranking, a university must hold active regional accreditation and have at least one partially online master's program in the ranking subject. Just 8% of U.S. post-secondary institutions earn a ranking position. OnlineMastersDegree.org began its 2020 to support online learning at the master's level. Our user-friendly, research-backed content helps students find scholarships, resources, financial aid, and connect with accredited colleges and universities across the country. Full rankings can be found at tinyurl.com/MTYKF8RZ and tinyurl.com/5N79UKXD.
Hello, this is Michael. I'm reading from the Odessa American, published Saturday, March 11th, 2023. front page. Lithium turns into big business. Mineral essential to electric vehicle batteries, by Bob Campbell. Extracting high-dollar lithium from brine and produced water is a potential new way to make money in the oil field that researchers and companies are busily looking into. Having reviewed the subject at the recent Permian Basin Water and Energy Conference in Midland, Tetra Technologies President, CEO Brady Murphy of the Woodlands, says samples of the Permian Basin's produced water that Tetra has studied so far have had fairly low concentrations. But the Smackover Formation in south-central Arkansas is loaded with it and bromine. Companies are already making good use of the iodine and bromine in brine, the other critical minerals detailed in the panel discussion. Lithium is necessary to make batteries for electric vehicles while iodine has medical applications, and bromine in oil well completion fluids and fire retardants. Another conference panelist was Scott Conley of Cyprus, Senior Vice President of Commercialization at the Energy X Corporation, which is focused exclusively on lithium. Waco economist Ray Perryman says the technology has been developed to make significant lithium production probable in the basin. The mineral was bringing $86,000 a metric ton before it recently dropped to $52,000. Murphy said it is a hugely profitable business if you're successful in extracting it, adding that iodine currently goes for $60,000 and bromine for $3,500 per metric ton. A general good rule of thumb is that if the concentration of lithium is less than 100 parts per million, you wouldn't want to invest $100 million plus in a plant, he said. The samples we've seen in the Permian Basin were between 20 and 50, but in the Smackover brine, we have seen as high as 425 to 450, some of the highest concentrations that we are aware of in the United States. Murphy said Tetra has seen several hundred parts per million of iodine in some locations in the Permian's produced water. Tetra Technologies, with 1,300 employees in 20 countries, is using bromine in completion fluids and has recently developed an electrolyte based on zinc bromide for long-duration energy storage. We're seeing some pretty decent concentrations of bromine in some locations in the Permian Basin's produced water, as high as 2,000 parts per million, Murphy said. In the Smackover, it's over 4,000. Iodine has been extracted from brine since 1987 near Vichy in western Oklahoma by the Iochem Corporation, which manufactures 1,200 metric tons annually, according to references. Iodine is also used to make electric liquid crystal displays, said Murphy, whose company also works in comprehensive water management, frac flowback, production well testing, and offshore rig cooling. There's a lot of effort going on around lithium extraction, he said. A lot of people are trying to prove it out commercially. There are multiple stages in the process that you have to go through. It's an emerging technology, he said, adding that Tetra plans to increase its commitment to potential lithium production. Conley said the price of the lithium, a soft white powder in its commercial form, should eventually stabilize at $20,000 to $30,000 per metric ton, or 2,205 pounds, and that, with the right concentrations, a plant is feasible in the basin. Along with batteries for electric vehicles, he said, it's used to make ceramics and glass, and it has medical uses. Conley said the five-year-old Energy X is looking for investors to tap it in Arkansas and the Salton Seas underground geothermal resource in Southern California, and in produced water from the Marcellus Shale in Ohio, Pennsylvania, West Virginia, and New York. The company has 45 employees and plans to double that. We've developed novel compounds that extract lithium and novel membranes that separate ions and produce lithium hydroxide, the commercial form, Conley said. There are huge deposits in Australia and the liquid brine 200 feet down in the lithium triangle in Chile, Bolivia, and Argentina is full of it. Energy X, or Energy Exploration Technologies Science and Engineering Center, is in Austin. We have three core technologies, Conley said. Absorption takes lithium out of brine or produced water. We feed that to solvent extraction to concentrate the lithium and remove impurities. Then electrodialysis converts the lithium ions to lithium hydroxide. Envisioning three pilot plants, he said, his company wants to build in the U.S. and is looking at South America, where it has investors. He said most of the world's lithium comes from Australia and South America, while China makes most EV batteries and gets lithium from its salt lakes. There is a ready supply here in the U.S., Conley said. We just need to get it out of the ground. Odessan woman accused in intoxication assault. An Odessa woman was arrested on an intoxication assault charge recently following a crash at State Highway 385 and East Antigua Drive. According to a Texas Department of Public Safety report released Thursday, Jillian McAlee Millam, 19, was involved in a crash that caused injuries to the occupants of another crash shortly before midnight, March 1st, and she admitted to having been drinking. Troopers noticed she had red bloodshot eyes, slurred speech, and smelled of alcohol, the report stated. Millam failed field sobriety tests and was booked into the Ector County Jail. She was released the following day after posting a $7,500 surety bond. Local artists prepare for first opening reception at the gallery at MSS for 2023. Spring is here, and Midland Shared Spaces is getting a fresh local art. This week, local artists have hung new art pieces throughout MSS at 3500 North A Street in Midland. Through collaboration with nonprofit groups in Midland, MSS provides dedicated display space for members of the Midland Arts Association and the Palette Club of Midland. Our local art community is vital and brimming with wonderful talent, Autumn Best, executive director of MSS, said in a news release. The collaboration with Midland Arts Association and the Palette Club of Midland has enriched the lives of all those who enter the MSS facility, whether for meetings or to receive services with one of the 14 nonprofit agencies operating within our walls. With each art rotation, Midlanders and beyond can visit MSS to discover a new artist or work that speaks to them. Each year, MSS, Midland Arts Association, and the Palette Club of Midland host three art receptions, welcoming new art and artists from our community. This effort not only gives the artists a place to hang their pieces, it gives the community a chance to discover all that the local art community can offer. Visitors can connect with artists during the receptions to learn about their work as well as purchase pieces. The dates for 2023 are Tuesday, March 28th, Tuesday, August 22nd, and Tuesday, December 5th. The gallery at MSS is a nonprofit collaboration between Midland Arts Association, the Palette Club of Midland, and MSS. For more information about MSS, visit MidlandMSS.org. To Your Good Health by Dr. Keith Roach. How to reduce blood pressure. Dear Dr. Roach, I want to know how to reduce my blood pressure because it is currently 142 over 90. Answer. Treatment of mildly elevated blood pressure of the type you have starts with lifestyle changes. The first thing is to try to reduce sodium in your diet. Some sodium comes from what you add to food, but much more is in prepackaged foods, especially canned foods. Potassium, found in most fresh fruits and vegetables, has a beneficial effect on blood pressure, especially when sodium is also reduced. Regular exercise can drop blood pressure by 3 to 5 points. Avoiding alcohol can reduce blood pressure as well. Excess alcohol, more than one drink a day for women or more than two drinks a day for men, is particularly likely to increase blood pressure, so cutting down or stopping helps to reduce blood pressure. Combining all of this advice can reduce the risk of requiring medicines by almost half. Additional treatments such as medication and stress reduction further reduces blood pressure and the need for medication. However, some people, even if they do everything right, can still benefit from medication, which can reduce the risk of heart disease and stroke when appropriately given to patients.
This is Jelaine Scott reading from the Midland Reporter Telegram on March 11th, 2023. Dear Abby, my boyfriend and I have been together 6 years. We are both divorced. We plan on being married in 6 months. He's a perfect partner, except for one thing. Every holiday, he jumps out of bed in the morning and takes his phone with him into the bathroom. There, he texts his ex-wife and ex-girlfriend. He feels the need to wish them a happy whatever holiday it is. This hurts my feelings. I don't understand why it's so important for him to contact them. Apparently, they are the first thing on his mind every holiday, or maybe every day. I don't know if I should marry him. I believe he still loves his ex-wife. Help, please. Suspicious in Pennsylvania. Dear Suspicious, I will assume that sometime over the past 6 years you have discussed this at least once with your boyfriend. This means he knows that when he jumps out of bed, takes his phone and hides in the bathroom to text his exes, it makes you feel insecure. If you really think he may still be in love with his ex-wife, do not marry this person. Because the two of you intend to move on to the next level, engagement, it's time for you to seek premarital counseling. If you do, you will discuss topics such as money, child rearing, and whatever he is doing that makes you uncomfortable, and vice versa. It should help you avoid conflict once you're married. Dear Abby, I live in a small town with a population of about 10,000. There is almost nothing to do here. There is a skating rink, a movie theater, and a bowling alley. Since bowling in a league is a weekly thing, I joined one. Our bowling center has been bought by a former professional bowler. She has formed a team consisting of herself, her fiancé, her son, and a friend who are all top-notch bowlers. Her son scores in the high 200s every game he bowls. Since they own the place, they get unlimited practice. The lady pro has taught them everything she knows. The rest of us don't stand a chance of winning a game against them. Should I just not care and think of it as a night out and accept that when we bowl against the big guns, as they have been referred to, we can count on losing? It's true that it's not about winning. It's about having fun. But it's disheartening that we already know the outcome before the night begins. There are other leagues to bowl in. Maybe I should join one of those. If we all drop out one by one, I'm sure they will figure out what's going on. Any advice? Average bowler in Tennessee. Dear bowler, talk to the new owner of the bowling alley and tell her how you and the other players feel. This is her livelihood, and she needs to know that it may be time to start a new league of less practiced bowlers like yourself. If she's a good businesswoman, she will be open to it. If she isn't, you and the others should take your business elsewhere.
Thank you for joining us for the readings of the Midland Reporter Telegram and the Odessa American. This is the Recording Library of West Texas, enriching the lives of individuals with physical, visual, and learning disabilities since 1963. You can hear this program on Recording Library of West Texas Radio and on demand with your computer or favorite mobile device at recordinglibrary.org.